are split and saints are called away. Most of all, I want to be among that number, the bride of Christ, set apart in white array. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. Everything down here will dim and lose its value when compared with all the glory we'll behold. But most of all, just to look upon the Savior will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle's won. Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear him say, well done.
Very special sermon this morning, and I'm especially preaching it for sinners, for those who are unsaved, who maybe will hear the sermon before the end of it, and not so much here this morning, but the other ways that we send it out. We are living in a day that is uniquely dark and uniquely dangerous. How many of you can admit that we're living in a day that's dangerous? It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go to school. It's dangerous to go down the highways. It's dangerous in many workplaces. It's dangerous in almost any place you go. You read every day of the damage and the anger, the road rage. I mean, just everywhere you look, there is something dangerous. There is something dark occurring. The political world is extremely dark. The academic world is worse than dark. The political world, the academic world, the world of the economy. People, many people across America, did you know over 90 million people in America do not have a job? Over 90 million people in America do not have a job. Oh, they say the unemployment rate is down, but there's such a large percentage that aren't even in that calculation because they've given up hope. It is a dangerous day. It is a dangerous day. And I want to preach this morning on something that I really love, looking for a safe place. Looking for a safe place. I like that title. I believe the Holy Ghost gave it to me. Turn in your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8 and go to verse 28. The book of Romans chapter 8 and go to verse 28. 28. Let me read to you a few verses. I'd like to read the rest of the chapter, but I won't take time for that. I'll let you read it when you get home, but not while I'm preaching, okay? I pray that you will hear the word of the Lord. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that means foreknow and foreordain, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Listen to that. In that beautiful way that Apostle Paul is writing this. What then do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can we read that together? Everybody, come on. If God be for us, who can be against us? I love that. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God the Father? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Jesus is praying for us right now. Jesus is praying for us. I love it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, would you stretch your hand toward Brother Chambers and ask God to help me preach in a way that somebody will come to Christ from this sermon. That somebody will come to Christ from this sermon. Father, I put every word of this preacher in your hands. I am not sufficient in your chambers. I'm dependent upon your Holy Ghost. Anoint us to hear the word of God this morning in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Listen to me carefully, please, and pray for God to help me, because I want to tell somebody where they can find a safe place. Tell somebody where they can find a safe place. I don't think anybody questions that we live in a dangerous world. We right here in this area probably have more security and safety than you would have in many places. There are cities in America that are nothing but hotbeds of killing and every form of anger and destruction that you can imagine. It is overwhelming, and Charlotte grows worse by the day. As this nation forsakes God, sin will have an even greater upper hand. As this nation turns from the right way of the scripture, this nation will continue to go downward, and evil and vice will come more and more upon us. The young people of America have been taught such a dark and helpless form of religion in most public schools, really knowing it all except the false, until they are helpless. They are lost. They have no balance for their life because of what they've heard. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous world. We don't know when another radical Muslim is going to kill another group of people. And we don't know when and where and how it may happen in our city. I can tell you, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I can guarantee you it's going to happen if something don't change. I can guarantee you it's coming. Everywhere you look, it's a dangerous world. Everywhere you look, it's a dangerous world. And I pray that God will help us. Now, the Bible is very plain. Very plain. And very promising. That when you hide yourself in Christ, you're safe. When you hide yourself in the things of God, you're protected. Oh, that don't mean you won't have some tribulation. It don't mean that you may not have some sorrowful moments. But it means in the middle of everything that comes your way, you've got a God that cares about you. In the middle of everything that you may experience, you've got an experience with Christ that will keep you in every hour and in every day. You've got something this world knows nothing about. If they could understand it, they would want it. I'm convinced that sinners, if they could understand what the Bible offers them, if they could really see it without being blinded by the world, they'd want it. Because there's a safe place to hide, even in a dark and benighted world. There's a safe place to hide. Hallelujah. I can tell you, I stand here this morning protected and safe. And I know God will not fail me. He will care for my soul. Yesterday, I thought of a scripture I had not quoted in some meaningful time. And I almost couldn't understand why I had not quoted it. The name of the Lord is a safe place. A tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Did you know the Bible says that? The name of the Lord is a safe place. Let's just go read it. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I love verses of scripture like this. They bless me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. Is safe. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning that in Jesus Christ, if you trust him and you obey him and you do his will, you're safe and he's going to take care of you? Could I tell you, there's a hiding place. Hallelujah. There's a hiding place in this crazy, dark world. There's a place you can hide, and God's protection will be with you. God will watch over you, and God will care for you. Now, I want to take a few minutes here and look at some specific points, okay? Go with me back again to verse 28 of your text. 28. And we know that all things work together, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. To them, listen now, to them that love God. Hey, notice, to them that love God. To them that love God. I'm here to tell you. When you fall in love with God, something happens to you that is so wonderful, it's indescribable. To them who are the called according to his purpose. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And three things I want you to see out of that. Number one is them that love God. Them that love God. It's easy in this world to forget to love God. To forget to take time to worship him and praise him and adore him and exalt him and magnify him in your life. When you talk about loving God, you're talking more about something than just a little emotion. You're not talking about just a little feeling that you have sometimes. You're talking about something that has a possession of you. Something that's taken you over. Something that rules your very life. My love for God is the total control of my life. Raise your hand up and tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him, Lord, teach me how to love You more than I've ever loved You. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will make the love of God to be shed abroad in your hearts. He'll put love in there that overwhelms you if you'll let Him. So the first thing is loving God. To them that love God. And then to them who are called according to His purpose. You remember the dear preacher last Sunday morning? Started his message talking about the will of God, finding the will of God, knowing that you're in the will of God, knowing that you've discovered the will of God. That's what he says right here. Called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. Are you listening? Called according to his purpose. How many of you have utterly, to the best of your ability, surrendered yourself to the will of God for your life? You no longer are wandering around here and there. You no longer have no set standard or set abandonment or set a surrender. You just kind of, you know, many people who are Christians just float about like a loose iceberg. Let me tell you, when you know the will of God and you surrender to the will of God, that's part of this promise. You've got to be in the will of God to be safe. If you're not in the will of God, you're not safe. If you've not found God's will and surrendered yourself to it, you're not safe. You said, I'm surrendering to everything I know. Well, that's where it starts. Surrendering to everything you know about God. And give yourself to the kingdom. Give yourself to your church. Give yourself to those commandments of the Bible. Give yourself to living according to the scripture. You have found the will of God. Now He will lead you on and on. And some it may be a teacher. And some it may be a soul winner. And some it may be a street teacher. And some it may be a pastor. And some it may be an evangelist. Listen to me. The will of God is where you've got to live to be safe. You say, Brother Chambers, you mean God doesn't keep those who aren't doing the will of God? He can't. God can only keep you when you're in His will, when you're where you belong. Hallelujah. God can only keep you when you're doing what you know is right to do. God can only keep you and protect you when you're over there where you have no business to be. How can God be over there where God ain't to start with? He can't. You got to be in the will of God. You got to be doing those things that please Him. It's nothing more wonderful. Nothing more wonderful. According to His will. I love that scripture. Let me read the whole verse again. Will you read it? And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Oh, Brother Chambers, I got some plans. Listen, your plan has to always be subservient to His plan. Your plan has to always be surrendered to His plan. 64 years I've been a Christian. He's never given me the privilege to go on my own. He's never given me the privilege to do like I please. He's never given me the privilege to break a few commandments because God understands. Oh no, He told me to do His will. I got to do His will. I got to live right where I ought to be. Now I'm telling you, you got to hear me. I want you to be safe. I want every one of you to be where God can take care of you. And the place where God can take care of you is in the will of God. Loving Him with all of your heart. Serving Him with everything you've got. Pleasing Him with all your being. Hallelujah. I've got to be in the middle of God's will. All things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to His will. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it's some piece of equipment that goes out of order. It doesn't matter if you get a little sick because some bug has passed your way. It doesn't matter if there's a death somewhere in the family clan or whatever. Those things are important. Those things are meaningful. But I want to tell you, God will keep you in every one of them. And God will give you peace in the darkest night. And God will show up in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. God is a big God. God is a good God. God is a great God. And all kinds of things are going to happen. Mama and I got awakened last night by two coyotes that showed up in our yard. And Teresa's cat was outside. I ought to have said, Eden, get rid of her for me. But she keeps the squirrels away, so I kind of like her. And I had to go out there and run the coyotes off and pick her up. She was frozen in fear, sitting up on a place where she thought the coyotes couldn't get her and carry her in the middle of the night. Can you imagine that? Well, did God take care of us? Yes, and Mama went back to sleep. Daddy didn't, but Mama went back to sleep. Yeah, let me tell you something. God is a God of protection. It doesn't matter what happens. And when it happens, when you're in the middle of God's will, you just trust Him and keep on going. Somebody raise your hand. Let me see a hand up there who knows that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. It isn't always easy to take some things that happen and say, "Now that's going to be for my good." I mean, we all have trouble with that, don't we? Don't we have trouble with that? Well, learn to put it in God's hands immediately. Learn to trust it to God and don't frustrate yourself to death about it. Learn that God means what He says. Are you looking for a safe place? Are you looking for a safe place? Let's go to verse 29. Listen, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Can I tell you that God loves His sons and daughters? Can I tell you that God loves His sons and daughters? Can I tell you that God is watching over you and God's keeping an eye on you and God knows your thoughts so far off, the Bible says, and God knows everything about you. He knows tomorrow as well as He knew yesterday, and He's watching and He cares because He predestinated you. He foreordained you. He planned you. He set you on His scheme. He set you on His divine order. Hallelujah. And so God has ordered your life. Now, if God has ordered your life, what are you doing worrying about everything to no end? If God ordered your life, what are you doing getting so upset and out of kilter when things aren't going right? Why you get so bothered? There's going to be trouble everywhere. There's going to be sorrow everywhere. All kinds of dangerous things are happening. You don't mind me telling about those police coming to your house that night, do you? Too late now, isn't it? We went to see and had a wonderful meal with Brother Jackie and Sister Yvonne. And as we was leaving, somebody had had a wreck. I don't know who it was. And they had ran. And the police was trying to catch him. And before we could get a mile from his house, we had met four police cars flying. I mean, just going. One of them would have hit us if I hadn't not passed around the place. I was about to go around. I guess he would have hit me. Maybe went off in the woods. I don't know what would have happened. But I just know one thing. It's a dangerous world. But you see, I got angels walking with me. I got angels riding with me. You say, angels, oughtn't I ride with you? They may get hurt. Oh, no. They ride with me to keep me from getting hurt. Hallelujah. We have protection. We have a God that watches. He knows all about you this morning. Think about it. That God knows you right now and where you are and what you're facing when you get home and what tomorrow holds and what the next... You've been foreordained. How many of you are saved? You're saved and you know you're saved. You've been washed in the blood. Come on, raise it high. Raise it high. You know you're saved. You know you're His. You know you belong to Him. Well, then He knows all about you. And He knows you tomorrow. And He knows you next day. And nothing can happen to you that God doesn't allow if you trust Him. If you obey Him. It may happen to that man or that woman. But it can't happen to you. If God is keeping you, He will protect you in every circumstance. That don't mean there won't be problems. It just means He'll bring you through them with a smile. Hallelujah. How about that? Coming through problems with a smile. Coming through problems with hope and confidence in God. I'm talking about a safe place. I'm talking about a safe place to live. Every believer in this building who is doing the will of God, you are living in a safe place. You are living in a safe environment. And God is caring for your very soul. He foreknows. He foreknows. He's got it all planned. He's in charge of it. He's taking care of it. I tell you, I rejoice in these things. His purpose for me. I love to think of God's purpose for Joe Chambers. You say, Brother Chambers, you're getting older now. And you know what can happen to you tomorrow? Could I tell you, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. Come on, say that with me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Come on, raise your hand up and tell Him, I know what my tomorrow holds. I don't know what my tomorrow holds, but I'm serving somebody that does, God. I belong to You. Father, I love You with all of my heart. Father, I want to love You more than I've ever loved You. Your love is flowing in me like a river, and I love it, but I want it to become like an ocean, God. I want to love You and love You and love You, and I know if I love You and I do Your will, that I can just rest in the Lord and just coast my way on into eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Coast my way right on into eternity. Think about that. Think about that. Coasting your way right into eternity. No other place, brother. God is faithful. God cares. Now, I want you to make sure. I want you to make sure that you understand what God has promised and what God has planned for you. And I want you to keep your mind set on Him and doing His will and walking in obedience to Him. See, His Son has died for you. If the Son of God would give Himself for you, then He's going to watch after you, and He's going to take care of you, and He's going to protect you. And when you almost fall, He's going to catch you right in time. Hallelujah. That's just how faithful God is. Somebody raise your hand and tell Him you love Him. Hallelujah. I love these scriptures. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Hallelujah. I'm one of His. I've been justified. I've been glorified. Not yet incomplete, but soon. Hallelujah. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, people don't like you, you say. My family's a little bit bothered that I'm an old holiness Christian, that I live a little bit different from they, and they're not pleased about it. And so they'll be critical. But what does the Bible say? It says, what shall we say then to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? How many of you raise your hand and quote that verse? You need to get this verse in your heart. What can we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And he goes on, and every verse gets better and better. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who can lay anything to your elect, your purpose, your place? Who can say things that make you feel like you don't really belong to God? Don't let them, because you belong to God, and He takes care of you, and He keeps you in His hands, and He protects you, and He watches over you, because He cares for your soul. He cares for your soul. Now, church, I'm going to tell you, you are in a safe place as a believer. As an obedient Christian, doing the will of God, you have naught to worry about. You've got to get weary. You've got to get frustration. You've got to get negativity out of your life. A Christian has no place or no right to always be negative and always be concerned and overwhelmed with burdens and confused about what's going to happen. You're in God's hands. He's in charge of you. You do the will of God, and God's going to take care of you. And don't let negativity become part of your life. The Bible said very pointedly that we can trust Him with everything. He says God's will is unalterable, and the enemy cannot change it. In the center of God's will, you're as safe as a man could be if he was already in heaven. You wonder why? I've always been one of those who believed about halfway in eternal security. It wasn't because I didn't know you could backslide, because I know you can. You can backslide, and you can be lost. But I'm here to tell you, if you really get good and saved, there's no more excuse to backslide than there is to not believe, because He's going to take care of you, and He's going to keep you in His hands. And I believe I'm as safe as if I was already on the other side, because I don't love nothing but His will. Woo, somebody help me, would you, and praise Him. Glory, He's a God that cares about you. He's a God that cares about you. Condemnation by the wicked is a big thing today. I know I face it constantly. I don't mind. I just trust Him. I belong to Him. I'm in His safety. Now, go with me to a book, to a chapter in the Bible that everybody knows by heart, but sometimes we forget to really take it serious. Would you go with me to Psalms 23? Go with me to Psalms 23. This particular chapter in the Bible is one of the greatest chapters in the Scripture. But we've heard it, and we've quoted it, and we've read it so many times that any longer it doesn't mean a lot to us. But I'm here to tell you, this chapter of God's Bible is still powerful. Would you read it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. What happens when you do the will of God? What happens when you surrender yourself to everything God has planned for you? What happens when you're totally God's and you're in His care? What happens when you belong to Him every day of your life? What happens when you're careful to do everything that's pleasing to Him? What happens? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Are you kidding me? I want everything I see. That's what's wrong with your life. You want things that you have no business with, that you don't even need. Listen to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I could ever want. Hallelujah. He is my life. He is my joy. And He actually gives me more than I deserve. How many would admit that God has already given you more than you deserve? Would you throw your hand way up in the air? Well, what are you doing wanting something then? What are you doing always? Oh, man, I wish I could get that. Man, you see a big old pretty shiny car go down the road. I want me one like that. You see a bigger house. I want me a bigger house. I mean, it is so easy to want the things of this world. But the Lord said through this great psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. I love it. I really do. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is He saying? He is saying that God puts you in the place of prosperity, and God puts you in the place of blessing, and God puts you in a place where every need you have is going to be met. I promise you. I promise you, when you live in the safe place of doing God's will and obeying Him with all of your heart, you cannot be less than blessed, and you cannot have a need, a true need, that God doesn't meet. He is the God of heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He keepeth the sheep of His pastors. He watches over their care. He watches over their soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the fields of blessings and joys and happiness and love. Hallelujah. I'm in His care. Are you in a safe place this morning? Oh, hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. Sometimes my soul feels a little bit empty, and so I run to Christ. I run to that name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. And as I run to Him, He comes in His graces and blessings and satisfies my soul. Hallelujah. I feel as satisfied this morning before God as His possible to be. I don't know a thing I want. There may be some things I could use, but I trust them to God. I'm His. I'm in His care. He's watching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you read on? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Listen to this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anybody here got an enemy? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here got an enemy? I'm sure you have. What does God do when you obey Him? He gives you a table of blessing in the presence of your enemies. Now listen. Take this serious. I know these are beautiful words. They're poetic words. They're words that are so poetic until you think of them as poetry rather than God's promise and God's divine will. I want you to know, if you obey God and you do His will and you obey Him with all your heart and you live pleasing to Him, He's going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's going to bless you around those who would like to curse you. He's going to bless you around those who see things wrong with you, because He watches over you. I'm talking about a safe place. I'm talking about a place of blessings and favors and goodness. I'm talking about a place where all your life is in His providence and in His care, and He loves you. Oh, would you raise your hand and just worship the great God a moment? Father, I love You. Father, I love You. Father, I love You. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the mountains of His holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King, and He hath put you in His safe place. Oh, I wish every sinner would hear this. There are so many sinners who own drugs because they're so miserable. There are sinners who drink booze every day, can't go to sleep without some pill or some bottle, and their life is miserable, and there's no satisfaction, and they don't know what tomorrow holds, and they do not understand that here's a place in Christ that's safe, that God watches over you, that God cares about you, and He even goes to the Father when He sees your need and intercedes for you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How I love those verses. Surely, goodness. Now, wait a minute. This is poetry. No, this is not poetry. This is God's promise. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I'm not going to quit this sermon until I know you've got that. Surely. Come on, say it, will you? Everybody. Goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you that you just keep on worrying about this and that and the other? And you keep trying to figure out, how do I solve this and how do I solve that? Let me tell you how. You give it your best, but you turn it over to God. You put the end results in the hands of God. And I'm going to tell you, goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. And I love those final words. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Some people can't even get to church on a regular basis in this life. How can you trust that you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I love that psalm ended like that. Oh, it gives me a greater love for the house of God than I've ever imagined. Listen, church, we are His. We're in a safe place. We're in a safe place. We're under the care of a great, wonderful God who watches over you. Now, you got to go to Hebrews with me in closing this morning. You got to see this verse. And I am so bothered. In all of my years of hearing good preaching, I've never heard anybody preach on these words. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. God said to his son, and this continues right now, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Did you know? Now listen. Did you know that right now Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand and living under that promise? And he is going to be there until every enemy he's got is under his footstool. That's the final judgment that's coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to rule this universe. It's going to be a holy affair. It's going to be a holy kingdom. It's going to be a millennial reign. Hallelujah. Where the righteousness of God covers this earth like the waters cover the sea. But here's another scripture, and I don't want you to forget this one. Are they not all ministering spirits? What's he talking about? Angels. Would you say that? Ministering spirits are angels? Ministering spirits are angels? Are they not all ministering spirits? Listen. Sent forth. That word sent means he sent them down here for us. He sent them to work for us. He sent them for our care. He sent them because he loves us. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. How many of you know you're saved? Again, I ask you. And how many of you are an heir then to Jesus Christ and to God and to the things of the Christian life? Yeah. And then what have you got that he sent? Angels to minister to you who shall be heirs of this great salvation. I've never heard a preacher that I ever remember preaching about angels and that you can trust them. I trust them every day. I don't get on the highway. I mean, you get 80 years old. I was going somewhere yesterday, go toward Gastonia, I think, or toward Walmart. Had to go to Gastonia. And the cars was passing me on both sides at about 75 or 80. And I was determined not to do but about 60 or 65. And I needed to get over in the right lane. And I had to speed up to 75 like they were to even get over in the right lane so I could go off at the place to go off. Now, I don't know how you feel, but as my age, I'm not comfortable on the highways as I used to be. And I don't feel quite as secure as I used to feel. And I try to drive slower and stay over to the right. But sometimes that's impossible because you've got a constant movement from the right. And so here you are, and you're trying to get used to these crazy people driving like maniacs. And you know, it isn't easy. If you don't have an angel with you at my age, I'm afraid you might be in trouble. I am grateful to God that the angels have me wrapped in their arms. And the Bible says that they're like a hedge around you. They keep you from bumping your toes and busting your life. You say, I don't believe this. Well, you need to get in your Bible and understand that angels are just as real as God the Father is real. And God the Christ Christ is real, and God the Holy Ghost is real. Hallelujah. I don't just have the Father, and I don't just have the Son, and I don't just have the Holy Ghost, but I've got angels encamped about me. Hallelujah. And so I'm in a safe place, and every one of us can live safely in this crazy world. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A safe place, Brother Buck. A safe place, Brother Buck. They don't let him drive no more. That's probably good, isn't it, Brother Buck? Well, he's not going to answer me. Hallelujah. Well, I guess that day will come for me. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you. You can trust God. We have a safe place. You can have a safe place. Every sinner listening to this sermon, you come to Christ, you give him your life, you become a person obeying his will and doing what's right. And I promise you, you will live in a safe place from now until you go home. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Chambers, but things, bad things happen to good people. Yes, and God walks them right through it and takes care of them and gives them victory over it and gives them happiness in the middle of some dark nights. Hallelujah. Because they're in a safe place. They belong to God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Father, for the safe place. Thank you, Father, for a safe place. Thank you, Father, for a safe place. Hallelujah. We can know that you care for us. We can know that you watch over us. We can know that we are thine. Wow. Everybody, would you stand with Brother Chambers, please? Glory. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Just wait on the Holy Ghost a moment, would you? Father, have your way in this place this morning. We don't want anybody to leave here without knowing that they're in a safe place. We don't want anybody to leave here without having assurance that everything is in the care of the great God and his Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a joy to belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. How many feel safe this morning? You really feel safe. You really feel safe. You know that God's watching over you. You're in his will. Do you know you're in his will? I'm not going to ask for hands on that. If you don't know you're in his will, then you do something about it before today's over. And you get yourself in the middle of his will. It's your decision. He's chosen you. He's ordained you. He has predestinated you. How many know that word predestination? That's a biblical word. One of the best words in this Bible. It means God has planned me before I was born. And I belong to him. I don't belong to Joe Chambers. Oh, I wouldn't trust me for a nickel. I wouldn't trust me. There's no way would I trust Joe Chambers. Because I know I can trust him. I'm going to do his will, though. I'm going to please him to the best of my ability. But then I'm not going to trust in me. I'm going to trust in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, what a joy to be yours this morning. To come to you in total surrender. And know that pleasing you is the most important thing in this world. Father, if there's anybody in this building that doesn't know what the will of God is for their life, help them right now to begin to listen. They may not know in a day or 2 days, a week, a month, or even a year. But as they obey everything you tell them, you will bring them to the place of your perfect will. Your perfect will. You will guide them step by step. You will shine a heavenly light upon tomorrow as they obey you today. And they will find the right way. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now before we're dismissed, Brother Dylan will be preaching tonight. And I trust he'll probably be evangelistic. And I hope we'll have a time around this altar. We just pray our way through to the heavens. Let's plan that, will you? pray our way through to the heavens. But I want to tell you, the will of God is like this. And I remember saying this years ago, and I probably haven't said it in a long time. You know, when you're driving your car at night, how far down the road do you see? Just enough to be safe.
Many times I get,
you don't see a half a mile. You don't see a mile. And you don't need to see a half a mile. But you need to see far enough that you're safe. That's how the will of God is. God don't show you what may be awaiting you 2 years down the road. He don't show you what may be the center of His will for you. But He shows you enough light to walk in that light according to His word and according to His will. If you will live in that light according to what light He's given, according to what light there is in front of you, then He will bring you to the light that you cannot yet see.
To labor, they will sit down beside that river. How I long to be with Jesus and my loved ones gone before. There's a better day a coming. We're not home yet. There's a land that's filled with milk and honey just waiting for me. Someday Jesus will come and take me over the sea. So I'll keep watching and waiting in this troubled world below. There's one thought that keeps me singing as I go. A